We're starting.
I'm backing up so that I can chew without being, you know, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
You could eat right over the microphone.
That's probably fine. I mean, no one listens or watches this podcast.
For all the flaws this podcast has, audio quality is not one of them in general.
We didn't record
our podcast on a speakerphone in a car on the way to a convention like some podcasts do.
The amount of Skype podcasts are the ones that really get me. I feel like I'm listening to robots.
Well, yeah, but I mean, some people, it's hard. I mean, if they don't Skype, they can't do it. Like, Keith can't be part of Muse.
No, I understand,
but...
Then Keith can just be part of us and leave Moves.
Yeah,
he's here now. He's ours.
Yeah, but then I'd see him every Sunday. That's too much, Keith.
That's kind of one of the reasons why I don't want to do Skype audio for this. Is it's just such a low quality. You have everybody else that actually sounds decent, and then that.
I think sometimes you can get it to be decent quality, but I don't know enough about it to.
Make it work. There's the inorganic nature of the conversations that happens then, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have social, physical cues and stuff, and so the person who's Skyping in, they can't naturally...
Well, once holograms are more effective, again, if a person just, like, you know, mind what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Or just do what Dad does in Arrested Development. Just have the iPad walking around with him in there, like Krang.
Yeah. Bob Einstein. Good old Bob Einstein. That's that actor's name. The guy that was playing...
That's
Bob Einstein.
Jeffrey Tambor's surrogate.
Probably best known for playing either Larry David's buddy on Curb Your Enthusiasm or also his character Super Dave Osborne.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bob Einstein, Super Dave. Bob Einstein, brother to Albert Einstein, who, because that name is more well-known by somebody else, changed his name to Albert Brooks.
Mm.
There's your trivia for the day.
Yeah.
That's some solid stuff.
Super Dave is amazing, by the way. There needs to be more Super Dave shows before he's not able to do them anymore. Well, technically, he doesn't do them. It is a giant Muppet.
What episode is this?
This is episode 188 of the Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy.
My name is Brian. I can talk.
That didn't sound like any better. Scene in the Pit of Despair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Nathan.
Brian also.
And we're here.
Yeah, yes, we saw Resident Evil.
The final
chapter. Saw it.
Do you mind us talking
about
it? No,
I don't. I honestly don't. I haven't seen one of them, and I intend to never
which
see
one?
One. I said I have not seen one of them.
Yeah, which one haven't you seen?
Yeah, which one haven't you seen?
I have not seen any of them.
Oh. Oh. Should see the first one. The first one's decent.
No.
No.
First one is the least bad.
Second one, actually, I do enjoy a lot, just because of the pain and suffering of others that were with us watching it.
They're all terrible in their own unique way.
Because I think you and I liked two. Or is it Jim and I?
It's you and Jim.
Jim and I liked two? Yeah. Because Nemesis was good. He was hilarious.
It was somewhat insulting.
Yes. The whole franchise is somewhat insulting, but it's okay.
Well, if it came after two, like three, they kind of shifted into their nonsense and just embraced it more after. Like, two was trying to be clever and be something, and then three on, it's like, you know what? This is our thing. We're going to do our thing.
Right.
As someone on your Facebook said, it's almost like the Fast and the Furious. They claimed what they are, and they went with it. For better or worse.
Yep.
Mostly worse, but they went and embraced it.
Yeah, and that's why the first one actually tries to be like a scary movie, and it's not scary at all, and it just fails terribly. Number one, the supercomputer that has the scientific grasp of biology of a Dark Ages peasant annoys me. And also, I just love when people die and turn into zombies, they immediately just have bad teeth. That's how you know they've turned into a zombie, is that Michelle Rodriguez's gums are gray.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
True.
You bleed from your gums.
I mean, that's a pretty...
Hilarious. Like, that took the scariness out. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, is he dead? And then they'd look up and they're like, oh, they're just instantly, everything's gray. Well, and I would just laugh.
It's like Z Nation.
I guess I've seen that in a lot of zombie movies. To me, that's just not a thing.
Well, that was the same kind of the similar thing to 28 Days Later as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was like instantaneous.
Well, yeah, but that's because they weren't zombies in the 28 days. It was more of a
they like instantaneous. I don't remember them being physically different.
It was this virus that turned into like rabid, crazy people. That's
no,
all
I know that, but my
there was no physical change,
right? And so they'd immediately start behaving aggressively and cannibalistically, but they didn't just instantly magically have dentures. Like, the T-virus makes you reanimate and also instantly gives you yellow teeth.
But again, I mean, that happens all the time.
I'm not saying I don't enjoy the movie. I'm just saying it is not a good movie.
I agree.
I don't say, the first one's good. No, it isn't.
The one thing you mentioned.
But it's fun.
The one thing you mentioned before. I wholeheartedly agree with you. If you are creating something that is the savior of mankind to basically make people immune to all diseases and that, you don't call it T-virus.
there's
a marketing issue.
Well, they
didn't
get to the marketing phase. They got to they didn't quite get to phase two. They were in phase one.
I didn't know it's the little girl who played the Red Queen for the rest of the series. She's gotten too old, and so they recast her. And the girl in this one is the real life daughter of Mia Jovovich and Paul W.S. Anderson.
Way to get your start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in your parents' movie.
Yeah.
That's not nepotism at all.
That's going to end well in 20 years.
I love the Red Letter Media's Fuck You, It's January video, which everybody should go check out. Red Letter Media, Fuck You, It's January.
Fuck you, it's forever.
It's interesting because January has bad movies and good movies come out. It's a very weird split of movies.
Good movies come out in January?
Yes. We've had this kind of... All the movies that are Oscar bait come out for 1 hour on December.
Yeah.
Then they hit wide release... In January,
that's right.
So you have your mix of Oscar nominated movies hitting wide release in January, and then the utter complete trash of humanity side by side.
Speaking of shit coming out in January, for the love of God, how is that stupid the love story with the kid born on Mars not come and gone from theaters yet? I have seen trailers for that for I think 7 years at this.
Which
point.
Which one is that? Is that I Am Michael or something?
No, it's Space Between Us.
It's Young Matt.
Get away, Dog's Life.
Commercials for it, and I'm like, oh, it came and went and flopped, and it's already coming out on DVD, and then it's like coming to theaters. I'm like, Jesus, fuck. Because I seriously saw trailers for that last October.
That's coming out February 3rd.
Yeah, I know. It's still not fucking out.
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be horrendous. That has no score yet either.
2 weeks to John Wick.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to buy my tickets. Hold on. Keep talking. I'm buying John Wick tickets.
Speaking of tickets, I think, that Gen Con badges went live today.
Yep.
I ended up grabbing.
Did you not buy your Gen Con badges?
Buy my Gen Con
badge. I bought my Gen Con badge.
I got distracted.
This time I decided to pay the $10 for shipping because I do not want to do will call ever again. I did it twice. The first time I did it, it wasn't so bad because I got there at like 3 in the morning, so will call was fine. There is no problem with that. And then the other, last year, I got there at noon. That was horrendous.
Well, so now that you have your badge, now you have to wait. On the February 11th, we're going to get emails, and when we can go online the next day for our actual chance at a hotel room.
Yeah, the big raffle. I think we've got a group of 5 or 6 people with us, so we're all going in separately and just.
But you guys are. And the thing is, you guys are trying to get one room, right?
One room for all 6, yeah.
Yeah, see, if two of you, we need to talk, because me, Andy, and Chris are trying to get one room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys have, like, between all of us, if, like, two people get, because you need, if, like, you guys get, like, two, because you'll know the day before if you're in the
first
hour.
Yeah, so we transfer the good
so
room.
So if you guys
whatever.
Are, like, in the first hour or two, then I will just have you maybe try to grab us a room or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be in a conference call with some other coworkers, too, I think, that day. Basically, they have, like... their group is like 12 people. They try to get 3 or 4 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
They get as many rooms as they can get downtown, basically. And
that's what we're looking for, is just trying to get something that's attached. Because last year when we stayed in that ghetto bed and breakfast, I was not a happy camper. It was just too long to drive. And when I was at Gen Con, I would get, you always get tired out and beat. Mm-hmm. So you want to like go up to your room and like just pass out for like an hour, sit around and do nothing.
Yeah, to go drive.
But now
minutes.
I have to drive, and I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm not going back there.
$90. I heard for you. A badge.
I heard you left Ethan behind in one of those.
Well, we did
adventures
on accident. It wasn't accidentally. It was they were playing in one of the the overnight masters events.
Sure, sure.
And I was like, yeah, I'll come back and get you because I was going to play and I decided not to. And then, like, they ended up staying for the whole event. And it was maybe 4 a.m. before they were done. And I was like, I'm sleeping. So I was, but the thing was, though, is he got a thing for, I think it was half off for an Uber. So they Ubered back. Sure, it wasn't a big deal. They just made a big deal out of it.
No, I found it funny as they give you a call. It's like, hey, come pick you up. And you're like, well, nope, I'm sleeping.
Not having a room downtown, when you're buying a shop and you want to run back, if you want to decompress from the place for a few minutes, you have that. It's just there's a million positive things for being downtown. You guys are still in the part where you're like, man, you want to put 8 bodies or 6 bodies in a room. Like, I'm too old to do that. Like, the 3 is like, I can't handle more than that in a room. It's like my enjoyment of a con drops 1,000% per extra body over 3.
Yeah.
Where you guys are still like, whatever, we don't care. We're you know, happy-go-lucky
people. Well, we have 2 couples, so it makes it a lot easier also. And then usually, though, in the past when we've had big room or a lot of people in one room, very rarely do you find all of us in the room at the same time.
And that is kind of nice. I mean, it's just what I find. My biggest thing is it's morning. Everyone needs to get up and shower. 8 people start in a line.
You know? Yeah, we do. We have in the past developed some kind of schedule for that to where we're like, we try and make sure that nobody's fighting for.
Facilities. Take a shower at night or so.
Yeah,
having a room off just on basically on site there is so good too, because when I have to poop, I don't want to poop anywhere in that convention hall.
I was just about to say, taking a shit is like it's the best thing to be able to just walk up to your room and like spread out and not have to worry about anything. Because like for me, and the thing for me though is like. And this is my unique position, at least in this room.
I don't want to know about your unique pooping position.
It's just that I tried to use the main hall restrooms once.
Sure.
And I finally, like, once after I waited in line for a while, I finally got into one. And I got in there and looked. I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm going to be able to fit in this damn thing.
Oh, stall size. Oh, yeah.
So I actually get in and I sit down. I'm like, I can't even, like, turn. And then on top of that, I'm looking at the floor, and I can't tell if it's, like, water or piss everywhere. It's probably a mixture of both, so I'm not going to try and dip my pants
into that.
It is
amazing when you're trying to play the game, what is that liquid?
Yeah.
And it's never a good answer.
No. So I was like, I'm just going to wait until I get back. So I was just like, oh, we'll just hold it. And even the place at the shitter in that ghetto place, they had a pedestal sink that wasn't like caulked or bolted to the floor. So I tried to use it. It was a really small bathroom.
You're trying to shit in a sink?
No, I tried to use the sink to get up because there was just like, it was so small. There's really nothing to help me with that because my legs were like hitting the sink. And I accidentally like pulled the sink off the wall. So that was an adventure.
I will say though, the hotel process, the processing of hotel rooms has almost reached the point where my going to Gen Con is going to start diminishing if it gets much more difficult to get rooms downtown.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's the same thing for us too.
Like, I'm done with Gen Con. Like, this just seems like such a headache now. Mm-hmm. Like, the only way I'd do Gen Con again is if I could get away with, if I did enough cocaine to just stay awake and always be doing something in the convention hall so that I didn't need to bother getting a hotel room.
Yeah, that could be. That could work.
And maybe sneak and power nap like under tables in the event lounge and stuff. And then when they wake me up, go, oh, sorry, I just fell asleep. Yeah, I'll leave now. And then hope the next security guard doesn't know I'm the same person.
Well, you could, can easily just hold a book in front of your face in the main hall and crouch down and probably catch a
couple of these. Or cosplay, get like something with a mask and just sit, you know, on a bench and just get
yourself,
power nap.
Get yourself a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Just pass out in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. No one's going to bother you if you're passed out in a wheelchair.
Probably not.
We bother fish a lot.
Yeah, I know, unless it's Adepticon.
No, the thing for us is...
Was he the one with the ass whoppings?
For Gen Con, at least for us, I know that
Amanda... No, that was not ass whoppings. Ass whoppings was a different guy.
Okay.
Amanda and I, that's like the roughly like our anniversary date, so she tries to make it this perpetual go to Gen Con to celebrate thing.
I'm buying you a ticket for John Wick.
Okay. We're buying John Wick tickets. This is how we do things here. Gen Con's just such a headache now, and I mean, it's cool and everything.
No, I understand.
And but I definitely don't go there to play War Machine. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I get it's cool to walk around the hall. I enjoy it going there, but just the expense and the headache is just getting the diminishing returns, you know?
here in F. So yeah, 14, 15 is perfect. You're next to me.
Yeah, I wish it was a little bit easier to access. I mean, it's still pretty decent where it's at, but it.
I might go behind you.
Yeah, go behind
it's like 10 years ago when we had it in Wisconsin still, it was still better.
Yeah,
and it was even that. At that point, it was still getting a little out of hand.
Well, when I was younger and would go to Gen Con while it was in Milwaukee, I usually went there just to play. That's what mm-hmm. I did. And now, Amanda and I mostly go there to experience the game vendors and just the bazaar, mm-hmm. basically. I think this year we're going to try and get into more events. Like, I think we're really pushing to try and get most of our group into True Dungeon just to try it because it's always been this elusive thing.
I have never done it, and I've always heard people enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to shoot for, is we really want to get into it.
Seems like it's just more of an elaborate version of one of those lockup rooms.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
But a fantasy-orientated version of that. That's what it seems like
to almost me. Probably the original version because it's been around for so long.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I like Gen Con. I like going there, but yeah, it is getting more of a hassle. You know, if you're driving yourself down, or if you're just driving down there, you're paying $150 just for to park your car for 4 days. It's insane.
I mean, it's the 50th anniversary, so it's a big exciting this year. And Gen Con to me is my yearly vacation. I know I'm dropping over $1,000 that week. That's just my splurge of the year. Some people blow their money at, you know, everyone has their thing in a year they blow their money on. I know I'm going to Gen Con, I know minimum $1,000 is gone. That's a grand on top of all the housing and food. Yeah. I just know I'm dropping in. But because of that, I plan for it all year. It's not like
you don't waste money on surprise. Like Kickstarters and stuff year round.
Well, I slow down. I'm just saying, I for like the entire summer, I put like $300 of a paycheck aside for like mm-hmm. the entire summer. I sell you more coin and stuff during the summer.
Yeah, see, that's how it works
find
out.
More things to substitute. I sold my zombie side for over season one, or my original zombie side stuff today. I'm very excited. I'm keeping my Black Plague stuff, but.
But yeah, you have it right now. Yeah. Your Black Plague. Might I ask how much?
That was the
almost 600. Which isn't bad. I mean, yeah.
My favorite part of Resident Evil was halfway through the movie when the guy sitting next to Brian got up and scooted down a seat to distance himself from Brian's plague coughing.
Yeah. I would have liked it better if Brian would have moved with him.
Yeah.
I missed you, friend.
Like, before we went to the movie, I'm like, man, I don't want to cough up, but it's Resident Evil, so coughing is really not going to hinder or change the experience at all.
No. It's been part of the mythos there.
God. I remember for whatever reason, when Schindler's List came out, everyone that I knew, it was like, we had, I don't know if you were there for that, but we literally feel, because I was still like in fucking like high school at this time, and we had like the entire row of people, but we all went, and we were all just deathly fucking sick. And I don't know why we just still went to that. It was such a big deal to go see Schindler's List, which is obviously, I mean, you know, it's not going to be fun or exciting to begin with. So now you have like, you know, an entire row of teenagers just ill, you know, watching this ridiculous movie.
Yeah.
My favorite, which reminded me.
Best description of Schindler's List, this ridiculous movie.
Well, because it's ridiculous. Gary Goldman, you know, that comedian, he's hilarious. He has this bit where one of his friends was referring to Hitler's atrocities, but she forgot the word atrocity and she said shenanigans. And he has this entire bit about Hitler and his like tomfoolery and stuff. It's amazing.
That wacky Hitler.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Just have the bad sitcom music right after that too. Murder, murder.
I'll say, all right, not going down. Not going any further down this rabbit hole. But it was funny that Resident Evil opened with a shot of Washington, D.C., like, torn apart with just, like, buildings broken in half and holes everywhere and everybody's dead and desolated. And everybody in the theater is all just thinking the same thing.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Live feed? Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
There's something I usually don't speak out at movies at all, but there was something during that movie that I said out loud to Brian. Brian didn't react at all.
I didn't hear what you said.
Well, you told Raylene, you said, is this next week?
She said, yeah. But it was something later in the film that I mentioned, too.
They aren't high art. They are not high art, but that's good. Also, I've played a lot of Resident Evil. I have played a lot of Resident Evil games, and the combat knife is never that fucking effective in Resident Evil games. You can stab a zombie 157 goddamn times, and it will not die. She sticks it in a behemoth's head, and he's dead instantly.
I will say you can. I've gone through in certain modes, and I have. When you play the game enough, you can't. She was playing hard mode, and she played a lot because you can do some pretty crazy shit with a knife if you play a lot. Like, you got to be like...
Not in the first one.
Even then, if you... Well, maybe the first one, but...
Like, the first one, all you do is like... Yeah.
But if you hit them three times, and then they bite you to death.
Yeah.
That's not a pacing. I'm telling you. We can get some videos of people going all the way through that game with just a knife.
Yeah, but 90% of that is just dodging the zombies. Yeah. Like, it takes literally 30 stabs to kill a zombie in that game.
It's a couple. It's more than one.
I like the The showdown at the end between the two characters with the little predictability of like the knife, the pocket pen.
I liked that a lot.
It was the
Sherlock Holmes thing.
Yeah, exactly. It was Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty.
Yeah, it was really. I thought that was really well. I was very interested.
I thought it was great, but it felt odd to me at first.
I just wanted him to call her Khaleesi just once.
Yeah, I wanted a Khaleesi shout out.
That's who that fucking was.
That's Sir Friendzone.
Yeah, I could not place him. I'm like, he looks really goddamn familiar.
Yeah. Ooh, you got an in for the dungeon there, Brian.
That's why I keep coming here.
Max actually has a connection with a true dungeon. I should be next to this Max person.
No, that's John.
It's Mac X damage.
No, it's Jonathan from Cedar Rapids.
I know.
Okay. All right.
I just didn't realize. I didn't know that he.
I didn't want you to confuse Max with our Max.
That's not Max Hirschworsch.
Yeah, no, it's.
Who's coming here later on today?
Yeah.
I know that's Cedar Rapids. Hi. Ow.
I keep trying to get out there to play in one of their tournaments, but.
I haven't seen them post
tournaments. Are they having tournaments? Like, I.
Jesse, yeah, I don't know. Billy just. He got married and just is like, I'm happy now, married.
I play Overwatch.
I told Billy at War Machine Weekend that he should keep me in the loop so I can come down there.
I saw Billy at War Machine Weekend and he was there and I said, hey, Billy, how's it going? He's like, hey. I'm like, hey. And so did the missus make it too? And he's like, no, she's not here. And he turned away. And I'm like, the way he said it made it imply that he thought that I only gave a shit about him as an excuse to talk to his wife.
Which, I mean, although true, I mean, like, she's amazing. It's what you would do.
It was just funny to me because it was so obvious. He's like, no, she did not come. You know, turned away. My mutt's not have been the first person to ask him if his wife was there.
Anyone who's met his wife would be the first question. Is your wife here?
I like Billy too.
Yeah,
Billy's fine when she's not around.
What? You just went creepy.
Just finally.
Yeah.
Who he went creepy? I went creepy? Who went creepy?
No, Brian.
Oh,
Brian,
okay. You were looking at me when you said that. Well, were you looking at me because I did this?
That was partially? That was your agreement.
My inner hatred is growing.
Did you guys talk about the Scorn stuff last week?
We did not.
No. We didn't talk about anything Scorn.
We did talk War Machine-ish.
I was at the chat. Yeah. I
mentioned Una Tech with the anti-flight.
Yep.
Which, of course, now it's on the internet because, you know, whatever.
Because somebody listened to our podcast. I don't understand.
There's nothing to Scorn in that.
Well, somebody...
Well, Scorn has plenty of anti-Una Tech.
But on the Muse forum, in the Muse thread, somebody mentioned... Because I posted it, and somebody's like, hey, somebody said this. And then they talked about it on their podcast because Muse steals his ideas.
Mm. That is the oldest profession Muse has ever done, is take our ideas. not that we have a lot of them, but we do have them. They take all of them.
How many episodes do we need to chop this one up into to... overtake them?
They're going Six. To 300 real soon.
Yeah. They're like they're on 297 or something. Basically they're 100 ahead of us.
You should just do 145.
Yeah. Right. I also need to come here and do a 12-hour-long Minion podcast one of these days.
Yeah, I can help you with that. I need to do a mercenary one, too. Mm-hmm. Brian's now a mercenary, so we can drink and do that.
Dipping in the merc bucket.
I feel like, I need to play more casters other than Osram, Durgan.
Yeah, you're not a merc player.
You're a dwarf player.
Osram, Durgan, and Excellent Thexus.
Even when you,
and
whatever, you always you look at a faction, you pick like three, which is fine. You play the crew, you get better with those casters, but you don't diversify when you jump into a new faction.
That's why I'm with Convergence. I'm like, I'm not going to play any more than like five casters.
Okay,
I'm going to keep it. You know, movie, yeah. It's bigger than three, but I didn't want to go whole hog.
Exactly. Yeah.
You honestly, make sure I might stick with four.
Well, you just want to make sure that you can cover all your ADR matchups, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I just...
Ah, shit, I did just make a Lucan list. Fuck!
Damn it.
Why did I do that?
Foiled again.
I just have a hard time just thinking of a list for the other casters. I mean, I've played Ashlyn before, I've played McBain before, but they feel different than Mark III.
They're very different than Mark III. Although McBain... So McBain's the thing is, like, basically the same. But Kayazi lost...
a lot of efficacy.
Well, no, they lost. The big thing that they lost was
is moving through models. Yeah, they lost acrobatics.
Acrobatics through for Killstorm.
But they're still amazing countermeasures targets.
Their defense went down a significant amount.
1 point, I think. They still have duelists. They went to 14, and then that puts them up to 16.
I thought they went down to lower than that.
No, because well, I just looked them up.
But you can't also Iron Flesh them. And I mean,
you can't. Well, Mercs never could.
Right. No, so, but they were Kador Partisan, so Iron Flesh was usually a typical thing for him.
Well, we're talking Mercs.
I know.
So,
just tying it all together.
We're specifically talking McBain.
Yeah.
And so for McBain, they didn't lose much of anything.
Yeah,
he didn't care about the kill stroke, acrobatics, assassination with them. He wanted to put countermeasures and have them dry hump everything on the board.
Yep.
Because they're like, we're stealth and we're defense, 18, and to go fuck yourself, and you can't shoot and you can't melee, and everything's great, and it drives people insane. I had one of those things dry humping the behemoth for an entire game, and that player was pissed.
Well, at least the behemoth has a chance where he can boost the attack, but I mean, it still needed like a 12 on.
Yeah, to hit him. And then I had nine others who would come up after behind him, And then by that time, once he finally kills all of them, then I just put countermeasures on 19 Risen.
Yeah, I know after the ATC's done and over with, I'll be trying to play with Shay a lot. I've got this like freebooter list that looks really fun.
I don't believe you can be in that same faction that long, though. I mean, he'll.
Well, that's why I was happy to go into Mercs, because it's technically like four or five different factions, so I can just switch between all those. I did almost bring Krix to a journeyman tournament that I ran yesterday.
Our troll Jeff may be switching to Krix.
Because trolls are too good now?
No, because Krix is too bad. So yeah. Jeff likes playing in that hole.
Well, yeah.
So.
Did you want to talk Scorn, Brian?
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
tell us about also your awesome play, your pain hooks.
Well, I haven't played. The Errata came out. The Errata was amazing, and then I got sick. So I'm not sure if having Scorn having good things caused me to have the plague as some sort of counterbalance in the world.
You got so excited that your immune system was
it failed.
It failed. It's like
I was embracing.
You got Scornades.
Scornades. Pretty much, but I think it's pretty amazing. I think I hopefully will be playing it Wednesday.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they've made a lot of positive things.
It might be the first like unabashedly, inarguably 100% positive change since Mark III.
Well, Trevor's not completely happy, so it's just right.
That's
Trevor
irrelevant.
Is never completely happy.
Yeah,
like
when have you ever seen Trevor actually post something happy?
He's Eeyore. He can't be happy. Yeah. But what could he possibly not like about the Scorn changes? Like it's universally applauded as being pure goodness.
I apologize. I implied I cared about what Trevor thinks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Hydra. That's an issue.
That it's really good.
The model.
The problem
has nothing to do with the Errata.
No, but the actual sculpt of the Hydra that is
talking Errata.
But the Errata was good. The Errata for the Hydra was amazing. It's like they just subtly made everything not suck, and then you put it all together, and they made like you had a lot of good stuff already. You already had Xerxes I, which was already good before the Errata. Rasheth was good before the Errata, and Arash was good before the Errata, and all these things are just
Xerxes II.
Xerxes II is very playable. I think he loves the Hydra. I've made like four or five lists. I've made lists with the Hydra, but I haven't kept one because I haven't quite fleshed it out. Morgul 2 is neat, more fury. They seem to be much smarter about the combination of spells with abilities on the casters. And even like the other casters who didn't get much, like Zal 1 didn't get much. Zal 2 got a speed buff, but just tweaking the armies makes those casters have more viable options.
Makeda 2's Warbeast points.
Or Warbeast, yeah, Makeda 2's Warbeast points. That was a big, that made me smile quite a bit when
they're inexplicable like 24 Warbeast points she was before or whatever.
I think it was because of Stay Death. They figured because she could Stay Death a couple one or two people, it was
who gives a shit.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. So that was nice. So there's lots of neat options out there. She still has D-cell, I think. I don't think they got rid of that. It's just still a weird spell for
her. She has the defense one.
Yeah, which is still... Well, I mean, it makes sense now because you have...
That's deflection.
Yeah, because now that you have the Kree exist, and you can't go the other direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, but you'd be called Signar.
Yeah, I got to play against a double Swordsman Makeda list yesterday, and that was very frustrating. Defense 15 and Defense 17 Swordsmen are not fun to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of, I think Scorn has a insane amount of things they can do yet, and I think you're going to see a lot of players going, ooh, I'm going to spam 5 Archidons, or I'm going to do this, and there's going to be, you know, the lowest common denominator and shove the, what people presume is the most broken stuff first, and then they'll work their way back to just the naturally good stuff after that.
Mm-hmm.
But
Xerxes 2, 10 Archidons, do it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just not that compelled by it.
No, I'm not saying you should. I'm just, that was my example.
But there will be people, I know, I've seen lists where they have, I mean, I have seen lists with 7 or 8 Archidons in them, and I'm like, whatever. And if I have some relatively good competitive players that want to try it out.
The internet is so terrible that I know that one of these days I'm going to see somebody complaining about the Scornergy of Archidons with Xerxes 2 because his feet turn makes Long Leash irrelevant. I know that someone will argue about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, I mean, Archidons are still, they're still only Fury 3, and if you're long leashing them, you're not going to be next to a Pain Giver, so if they're going to charge.
It can be. Just have it way up there.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be difficult. I mean, I think Archidons are great. I think having one or two in a list will probably be pretty effective. I'm not going to go, hey, I'm going to have 10 of them in a list, but, you know, whatever. But I think.
They're relatively weak, aren't they?
Yeah.
With hit points?
And I guess because if you have that many, they become your front line, which means you have to be up there anyway, so that long leash becomes irrelevant. You want 2 or 3, maybe 4, where a couple of them are on each side, like flanking really far, and you still have your main force in the middle marching up the table.
I've seen some Zadesh, like Zadesh and 2 of those seem pretty, like not Zadesh, like Zadesh 1, the actual lesser warlock with 2 of them, because he gives them tag team on top of that, so now they have their, what they have, plus tag team, and he can get some interesting abilities with them. So that's kind of a neat little idea. I mean, it's expensive. It's 20 points in a lesser warlock, and if he dies, you're fucked. So it's, you know, pros and cons there.
With the Rhinodon.
Rhinodon's okay. I mean, he's still in special, but he's, they made everything for what they do and their points viable in some kind of list. They changed the infantry around enough that each infantry has more of a defined role in a different region. There's a reason if you are being tactful, if you're being smart about how you're building a list, almost anything in Scorn can fit in a list now if you have a plan.
It almost feels like the list building for them feels a lot like building a Kaedor or a Menoth list. Those three factions are probably some of the best flushed out factions in the entire game right now.
Yeah.
And it's just neat that Scorn got that treatment. I know that our ATC team went from only caring about Zadesh and Xerxes,
mm-hmm,
1 to having to worry about the whole faction now because we just don't know what to do with it, at least as far as our pairings are concerned. Yeah. And there's so much of it that's good.
And I mean, my thing with Scorn, I am still so busy with so many other things that, like, to play a game, I could still go down on Wednesday and get my ass reamed by someone simply because I'm not current on all the gimmicks in the world. Like, I could sit down with a perfectly viable list, get my ass handed to me, not because Scorn is bad, just because I'm not aware of, like, the, you know, every trick of Luna 2, or I'm not familiar with what every, you know, gimmick is out there right now. Mm-hmm. I haven't been paying attention. So I will lose, like anything, I have to play a bunch of games just to get, I need to lose to a bunch of the gimmicky things.
Need to remember.
And then I need to think to myself, do I care enough to learn through all that in real life if I want to play in tournaments again? Like it's,
yeah.
Or maybe I just want to push models. Maybe I want to be like just Jeff and push models around and not care.
Yeah.
How dare you not care?
Yeah, I know. That's, I know.
Perfectly fine. I mean, it's.
No, how dare you?
How dare you?
All winning all the time.
I got, mm-hmm, Star Wars Destiny to play.
That's a fad. It'll
Speaking
end.
Of ATC, we're recording on Sunday, and Tuesday is the last day of this month, which is the deadline to get a team in.
Yep.
You know, people.
Yeah, hurry up, people. Get a team in.
Although anybody who doesn't get a team in, there's plenty of room in the Solo Masters, and you have all the way till the day of to sign up for that.
And that's not just like the pre-registration for teams, it's the full registration for teams, right? Like,
yeah.
You have to have your full entry fee paid by,
correct,
2 days from now.
If you get it paid on Friday, you know, mm-hmm, that's a couple days, that's fine. I'm not going to kick you out for that, but sure. get us, because we got to start paying the site and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, lists are due in like 2 weeks, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
but not for the Solo Masters.
Take that, world.
I'm done. Just had to shoehorn that in.
It's very important.
I'm probably going to run the Solo Masters.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I already volunteered for that a while back.
Yeah, you can volunteer for anything. I'll volunteer to be Jennifer Lawrence's masseuse. That doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Okay, I guess I won't. I'm not going to the ATC then.
You can help run the event.
I guess I'm out.
Yeah. You have to add. They got a whole team organized that structures these things.
Yeah.
I'm running a concession stand.
There are up to three of us.
Yeah.
You're running concession stands?
Yes.
Can I help out and just be other PG?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I have to do?
Well, if Andy's helping to run, I can't go.
What?
I don't know.
Hey, whoa. Hey, look at that. I don't know if somebody watching live or just coincidence, but somebody just registered a team. Boom.
I know that the ladies were talking last night about registering a
team. Yeah, they told me they're in. Yep. So
they. I don't know what it was. We were playing, and then Danielle got a wild hair on her ass and was like, let's play in the ATC.
I thought they already were doing that.
No, I think they were.
They were going to, and then and forth. Yeah, they weren't sure if they were. Sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A couple of them weren't sure if they could actually go or not.
Gotcha.
So that'll be a good time.
Good times.
You can go back to Scorn. I didn't mean to derail. I just wanted to interrupt that while I was topical.
I mean, it's just there was almost 100 changes in Scorn, and they were all basically pretty positive.
I mean, was there anything that you thought was weird / bad / confusing / whatever?
No, I mean, having looked it over a lot, I don't think anything was really bad. I mean, I don't think any of the changes were necessarily
bad. I guess not necessarily bad, but like, was there anything that you saw and you went, what? For reals, yo?
Not really.
Damn it.
I know.
Trying to get conversation here.
You are. I was like, they just did a good job.
You're dead to me. I'm turning to the other Brian.
The only thing that I saw that was weird.
See, he's got shit.
Was the the Gladiator's point increase. I understand that it was relatively cheap, and it does have an amazing animus, and it is a heavy with three initials, but it just feels... It's not like I could compare it to... I know in cross-faction comparing sucks, but like the Mauler fills a similar role. But they're somehow the Gladiators.
You're missing a very key reason that the Gladiator went up one point.
Well, the box, yeah.
It keeps the battle box at zero. Because the other model in the box went down a point.
Yeah. They probably should have raised all their Warlock or their War Beast points by one then.
I'll take that. But yeah,
they would have had to lower their War Beast points by one then.
They would have had Cyclops did the, I guess, I don't know.
Because the Cyclops went down a point, so then the battle box was negative one point instead of zero, like every other battle box is.
But did the Cyclops go down because it wasn't good enough, or did the Gladiator go up because it wasn't good enough, and then the Cyclops got corrected?
I assume the Cyclops went down, and the Gladiator went up, but mostly that's because that's the order I read them in, so I guess there's no logic.
You really need a hard reason to bring a Savage. I mean, it's a fine War Beast, but Scorn has a plethora of... Fine War Beast. I know some people are still sad that things like a Sentry maybe still only has three Fury, but you know, whatever. It's the fact that you can have Pain Givers, you know, next to Beast now for the free charges is a huge deal. Bronzeback going to five is ridiculous. I mean, Jackhammer on Makeda one is theoretically ridiculous depending on your opponent. I mean, there's a lot of good possibilities that exist in that game. People are really excited with Hexorus one because you got like Parasite. And I still think his feat is okay, but his feat, you have any feat that relies on your opponent bringing certain things is always kind of like, oh, that's a Crix problem. Like if when any
which feat was his feat?
It's as if an undead or living model dies, he can make it move 3 inches and make an attack.
Oh sure, okay.
Which is helpful sometimes, but there's so many. A, Jack spam it does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
B, there are so many infantry lists that synergize within themselves that if you happen to kill one of their models, they can't even kill their own models back, so it's, again, irrelevant. It's like, I think Rhett has a lot of those units where if you kill a Rhett model and you move it 3 inches to attack itself, like that model now doesn't have like flank with itself. It doesn't have all the natural abilities.
Or stuff that's just like Matt 6, Defense 16. Like, what's he doing to the other guys in his
unit?
Lot
of models so can't
So Hexorus 1's feat is still pretty questionable. I mean, and that's not a terrible thing. I've been saying like his feat's still questionable because... People are all excited. Well, it's not to free strike. Well, now it's just back to what it was on Mark II.
Yeah,
it can have its moments.
Like I remember seeing games where that has killed like 20 things, but that's against units that do that. That's against like Mat 7 defense 12 units.
Yeah, But if you're, I mean, even in Mark 1 and in Mark 2, when you put down Hexorus 1, you knew his feet was only going to be, you knew every other game at best his feet was doing nothing. And if it's a good caster and with a good spell list and good abilities, maybe it doesn't really matter. But you just have to realize you're going to go into some games and your feet's blank. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're terrible. It just means you have one less weapon to go into that game against people. But a lot of, but he's not unique in that regard. A lot of factions have some feats where it's like they rely on their opponent to have something for it to work. So that's not like a unique problem to him.
I do like, one of the other things I like about the Scorn update that they did is, it might be hidden a little bit, is it seems that Aptimus Marketh has a lot more spells he can spell slave now. Things like Jackhammer.
Yeah, but he's I still wish he could do more. I mean, he's cheaper and he still has a room, but man, I mean it's
he can cast Lurch.
Yeah, it's just still difficult not being able to cast upkeep spells. There's so many things you want him to do.
Yeah.
But that's just a Mark III change, not a, you know, just affects.
Yeah, yeah.
It affects everything that has
Scarlock cries for him really too.
Sad. Yeah. So it's interesting.
I'm being double trolled in the chat.
I saw that.
The second troll is the more subtle one, which is the person using begs the question incorrectly, because I ranted about that at the event on Saturday, the Champions event.
And I don't know.
So I want him to know that I saw that, and I appreciate that, and I look forward to killing him soon.
I like the immortal changes. Some more immortals aren't, their speed is tied back to the Ancestral Guardians instead of having to be tied to their UA.
Yeah, that stuff was really cool.
Well, because it's like immortals, and again, it's like, because having to have your own units die before they become useful is annoying, but now under Zal, anything, like, now that anything can die, Karrax can die, and I can give the Immortal UA that soul, the power of the Immortal unit. It's just ridiculous, because Direct Spirits is so good for both Zal 1 and Zal 2. They have a lot of soul shenaniganry.
Yeah, because they kind of just simplified it to anything can go wherever he wants it to, right? Yeah.
I really want the damn Venonator solo to come out so I can buy two of them, and I still kind of wish the Karrax UA was slow. I think everyone still thinks it's an overcosted thing for 4 points.
Your battle engine got better, too.
The battle engine's amazing.
Yeah.
Battle engine is phenomenal in some ways. We'll see. I mean, I could probably play 24 games before I've... Like, I'm back to that. I want to put a bunch of stuff on the table before I think of anything too seriously. But, you know, I see a lot of people are putting down Morgul 2 again and other sorts of cool fun things. Yeah.
It also seems like there's some cool things down the line based on some changes they made. Like, Naresh got the... If I'm not mistaken, you got the clause that says he can only, his feet can only be used on living war beasts. Yes, so it makes me wonder if they've play tested a non-living war beast already and figured Naresh made it too survivable.
Well, yeah, maybe, because I mean, Zal 2 could definitely use a, because I mean, I imagine we're going to start seeing construct things, maybe.
Yeah.
Like an immortal construct of some sort.
Some kind, because that's what Zal 2 could really use, because his feet could really, he would go up quite a lot. I mean, Zal 2 is still amazing, but you start getting something like that.
That would be the artwork and the sculpting that are done for the Immortals and the Ancestral Guardians. Seeing that in a construct form of like something on a huge base or a large base, that is, would be really cool looking. Yeah.
There was that one model. I can't remember the exact specifics of where it came from or if somebody had made it, but it looked like it was an immortal beast basically on a 120. But I think it was just somebody screwing around.
Mm-hmm. You see the artwork of the freaking nightmare monster person on a wagon
with a carriage.
Yeah,
the carriage. That thing works.
Cart.
That looks cool.
Yeah,
That faction. If it's Grim Fairy Tales and it's executed well, that thing looks really cool.
I am glad.
Like the Halloween Town joke. Like if it's Halloween Town, fuck it. Right. Like, you know, I got a pumpkin and they're all dancing and singing. It's stupid as shit. Yeah. But if it is scary Grim Fairy Tale pumpkin people. Have all my money.
Well, and all those rule or not rules, but riddles and poems and stuff, they seem to be more like moral debt collectors. So that's kind of a neat, interesting path to go down. But as soon as I saw the first stuff, I was just like, Jack Skellington can go fuck himself. Get him out of my game.
Yeah, and that was everybody's first impression. Like, when they're like, look, we're doing Halloween Town, everybody's like, all right, you're dumb. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just the ridicule. But, like, this art and stuff, like,
the concept art is actually what's pulling me towards... The concept art is
what's pulling me in.
Pulling me towards them.
The Dead Journal era 1990s junior high school emo goth poetry with raven feathers on the side is not selling me. But that picture of that dude on a cart is selling me.
Well, they also had that some people have thought would be their beasts, the one that has like that's racked with the cages hanging from it.
Yeah. That's got kind of like the executioner color on them.
Gets, that was the first one where I was like, man, this is getting really far away from what the design was that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is all the concept art for it is actually makes me very interested in the faction itself.
Well,
yeah.
SmogCon happens in what, like
a couple weeks?
Yeah.
So when's Lock and Load?
No, I think Lock and Load. I think SmogCon is next week.
March? No, it's in the.
We're
gonna
have playtesting the faction in a couple months. They said there's gonna be a whole playtest.
Yeah, March is when the playtest starts.
Yeah. Well, Lock and Load is when you can buy them.
Well, they have the caster releasing at SmogCon.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, which I got to somehow see already? If I can get a hold of so I can have it at Adepticon for who's the boss.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to figure out, you know, if they've got a different mechanic, which they may or may not. Because remember, they could just be like a Hordes mechanic. Excuse me. But remember, a couple years ago now, they said that they were working on a faction that didn't use Focus Fury. And so if this is that faction, it'll be interesting.
It's going to hurt trying to figure out how we're going to do it for who's the boss. But
right.
Yeah, no, I have to see if I can try to talk to somebody or if somebody out there wants to. Well, no, if it's available at SmallCon, it'll be available on Privateer's page.
Maybe. I mean, look at Colby Smulders.
Yeah, they already have the
that
issue.
That one's specific for their hotel.
I know, but that's a model that was only available for purchase at one place at one time and was street date tournament legal. Whatever, not getting into that shit, but...
that was also a pretty... Not a great model.
Don't care how good the model is. Like, that's the only time ever there's been a model that was not technically universally available that... stayed street legal worldwide despite that.
Yeah, that's true. I think they just tried to drum a pipe for that whole Blackwater Irregulars thing, but they're also doing the same hotel garbage with, or at least the last I heard a few months ago, the same thing is going on with Pirate Iris and Pirate Reinhardt.
That's SmogCon in general. Yeah. That's not Privateer.
I thought they had their hand in it because I figured Privateer Press wouldn't show up to a convention where somebody's striking their IP.
Well, it's just a gobber that's
it's got attachments,
unknown pirate goblin with a pocket watch and a spyglass. be anybody.
Yeah.
It's like a Conan game I bought came with an unknown red-headed Valkyrie warrior who doesn't have a name and totally isn't Red Sonja, legally speaking.
Yeah. So there was that. I thought it was them who was doing it, and that's why I was getting pissy about it.
No, it's specifically SmogCon that's actually making that.
Okay.
I don't know if they're doing the Iris, but definitely the Gobber is.
I know that the caster is an alternate for what the street one will be, so it might be an exclusive. Who knows?
Sure. Yeah. Well,
but I would just like to get it. It's February 17th.
So. February 17th at SmogCon.
Yep.
So like in 3 weeks we'll have Jesus Christ.
We'll have some information.
We'll know the rules and everything.
I just want to get the model so I can use it for Who's the Boss is mainly the main thing.
Sure.
I mean, I want to have. Every time that I have Who's the Boss, I want to have the most current casters up to date.
I want to design a Mona, an Angela, a Samantha, and a Tony, so that they can be on the Who's the Boss wheel.
If you want to make it up as a bankruptcy,
yes, you actually have. And then just we'll also have Charles from Charles in Charge. Just get him in there too.
No,
that was basically Who's the Boss. Son of a bitch!
No, you also have to have what's his name, the young kid too.
And he's in charge.
Samantha. Like,
there, go to 3 o'clock. He's at 1 o'clock. I'm at 9. You're obviously turning 90 degrees. Turn 90 degrees that way.
I can't.
It's either 30 degrees that way, or you can only cough directly at a person. Is what you're saying?
It's science.
He's been really nice to me today because I sat next to him in the theater and he was coughing at the other guy.
I bought you bitches movie tickets and this is my thanks. You owe me exactly one not coughing on me today.
I figured now you've gotten me 2 movie tickets so far here.
Sure.
So what I'll probably end up doing.
Jesus Christ.
Fine.
What I'll probably end up doing is just getting you guys. You and Rayleigh in a movie.
All right.
Water.
Oh, Lordy.
But yeah, I'm very, very curious about those guys. I'm excited. I'm excited about Lock and Load being bumped up now this year. It's no longer in June. It's in July.
That's not up. That's back.
Back. Whatever.
Why would you be excited about being further away?
Well, because I have other things I like to do in June, and now I can do those things. I have some friends I normally would be going. Okay, hold on. So this doesn't sound like Andy in general, but there is
Andy and Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah, your beard, his beard sticking out of the bottom of the mask.
He's got nobody would know things. Who I am. But I go with some friends to go fishing up north, and I can't go fishing up north because for the last like 5 years that I've done Lock and Load, I've gone to Seattle instead of going up north.
Thinking of you and Eyes Wide Shut made me think of that episode of Always Sunny where Frank has the orgy and there's the buffet there. Everything
is that the same movie where he gets where Charlie gets kicked out of the orgy ring, like he gets really deep, but yeah, it is.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Orgies are funny. And Wasted, there's that whole orgy episode in Wasted. That's Brian's I agree with you cough.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There was actually some hilarious lines in that orgy.
Yes. The guy... like
room 42!
The guy with his safe word. Yeah. And all that stuff.
I'll never tell.
Good times. So, I'm sorry, you have an orgy in June?
No.
Oh. That's what I heard.
That was incorrect.
It's the Chaos Cup in June?
No,
Chaos Cup
is in September, generally.
Are they going to use the new Blood Bowl rules now for the Chaos Cup?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, wow.
Dwarves are dropping in February.
Yeah, which I, again, another thing I want to get is I want to get the fucking dice. I want to get the dice for them, too. But speaking of dice, I forgot to mention this a while ago. It was really nice of Dan White. He actually gave me a set of dice. He provided a nice print that was given to Brian. And then he also, in part of that package that was sent, was candy for you and Brian, as in you as in Nathan and Brian Kerr, but I ate it.
Fuck you!
Yeah, way to go.
What? Okay, I'll get you some candy. But yeah, no. Sure. I kind of feel bad. Well, I have like two of them left at work.
Oh, good. That helps us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope they're high in sugar content, jerk.
I hope you get diabetes.
Too bad, I already got it.
So you're immune. That's how it works. It's like chicken pox. Once you have diabetes, you can eat all the sugar you want and never get diabetes again.
Science. Zappity.
But, no, it was really nice of him to do that.
Good job.
Are we having an event in February sometime? I thought somebody was looking into doing that.
I don't think anybody in Madison is, no.
So the next Madison-ish event is the ATC first weekend in March?
I know that our group was looking at trying to run something in Baraboo in February, but I think it's just February's kind of turned into a crazy month already.
There are discussions, I know, about doing a February event. Because there's a Facebook thread thing where people were checking.
Well,
you're in that group, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin event organized. Oh, well, yeah. There's the lacrosse thing that's going to happen in February. That's a big deal. So lacrosse has a warming center.
Lacrosse can never use a phrase big deal
that is
associated with it.
Well, the sport can.
Yeah, well, I like lacrosse. It's a fun place and they're great people. But they have a warming center. And instead of doing like a food machine style event, well, I mean, it's a food machine style event, but instead of bringing food, you're bringing items that they would, that they need.
Yeah, like blankets and stuff like
that. Yep, and socks. And I think the socks is the big
And the what's
big
the push. Name of the event?
I don't know what the name is.
Warm Machine.
Warm Machine. Okay.
Yeah, that's a pun.
I didn't pay attention to what the exact
Spoonerism?
Name
no, we'll go with pun. I think it's a pun.
Sure. I think it's probably funny.
My brain momentarily forgot what a spoonerism is, but I know that that's a pun.
So that's happening at River City Hobbies in downtown La Crosse, and that'll be a really good time.
I'm pretty sure a spoonerism is not what I think it is.
That's where you put your hand between two pillows.
Yep. Those are indeed pillows.
Mm.
Thrust your hand deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Zappity.
Your pillows are wet.
I think spoonerism is the one where you like switch the first letters of things.
Oh.
You know, like...
Paschetti.
Cunning stunts. would be a spoonerism because of, with the switching and whatnot, you know.
At some point, when are people just making shit up? If you change the first and the third letter, but then you move the fifth letter to the second letter, that's called a whatchamajigger. If you take the letter, make it to the sixth letter, take the sixth letter, add in a nigger, and add in a T, that's called rude. And then I just think at some point...
That's where Arnold Schwarzenegger's name comes from.
There's always a name for something if you do something to something, and I just don't get it. I just... Stop having to do weird things and make it into a thing.
Well, that's how Nathan was trying to figure out his name, how it's...
But everything is at everything.
In that one one episode, at the very beginning where you're sitting there trying to tell us that your name is also a...
It's a palindrome, kind of.
No.
if TH was a single letter, my name would be a palindrome.
Well, I get some of the...
That is true.
I get some
fuck
of the...
Fuck all y'all.
I get some of the generic things, like something the same as backwards and forwards. Okay, that's simple. But they keep having to be more and more exotic things.
Well, spooner... I mean, that's a common enough thing that people do, where they just, like, you know...
I have heard the term spoonerism before.
Well, yeah. Obviously, you've heard the term spoonerism. I mean...
Even if you haven't heard the term, you've seen people do that.
Yeah, I know. I just... Everything is just weird.
The ambigrams or whatever, when those first came out, there were two things that made me leave the body modification industry, and it was ambigrams and nostril piercings.
What's an ambigram?
It's the rotated.
Yeah, you and flip
the
it
nostril is what got you.
Wait, what?
Well, yeah, because I had to. There was one weekend where I did 30 of them. And that was all I did. Ugh. The money was fine, but I didn't want to look at another nose for the rest of my life, which is really hard to do.
How many penises did you give me? But the nose.
Those I actually enjoyed doing. They were more fun.
Well, I started on that road. It's my own fault.
Depending on how crazy you get with the font, some of them it's harder and some are easier, but you can make it so like the word says like heaven, and then if you look at it upside down, it says hell or love, and then you look at it upside down, it says hate.
Okay, so like Dio.
Yes, but his is Dio both ways. And
no,
so that's,
no, it's if Dio, you look at the other side, it's devil.
Oh, is it? Sure. Okay, yep. Fine, yeah. So then, yes,
okay,
that's
so hemogram. Okay, I did not know that. So,
interesting. The hemogram?
Yeah, no, that's when if somebody delivers you candy while dancing sideways and saying that
no,
you can't touch them. That's a hemogram.
A hemogram? No, yeah. A hemogram is where somebody delivers you candy dressed as ham.
All right. Fair enough.
I was thinking of an MC hemogram.
Well, that's a completely different one. That's where a ham is wearing parachute pants.
Yeah. Obviously.
But not delivering candy?
But not delivering candy. No.
It's just there. It's just there.
It's just Thursday.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I'm running out of voice. We should go Zappy Grumbles.
All right. I'm just writing insanity for that.
So we got some in the chat. Do we want to start with those?
We do. Yeah. Is my watch wrong? It is not 4:15, right?
It's over five past five.
Did you forget to wind up your watch again?
I think I'm just an hour behind. Is it 5:15?
It's 5. So I'm so
5:06.
Glad. You know what?
I love I love the constant reminders of why we don't have wind up watches anymore around you.
It's like once a week. I wind my watch every day before I go to work, and so when I don't work, I get out of my pattern, and so that's the only time the watch dies is if I have 2 days off in a row. All right, hey, my name was there. Oh, I wrote down all the Zappy Grumbles. You don't have to scroll up.
Oh,
well, I have them right here.
All right, well, go crazy on them.
But there's that one right there.
Yeah, so I wrote them down in reverse order. So what's your favorite magic system?
My favorite magic system? Actually, when it popped up there, I instantly went to it. In fact, I love the world for it. I hate the psionics of the world. I love the Red Sun magic system. Dark Sun.
Oh, Dark Sun.
Dark Sun's a magic system for D&D. I love the fact of, like, as they're using power, they're draining the life out of the planet.
Dick move.
Yeah. And that's why the planet is the way it is because just the overuse of magic. I think that's a...
So the woods are just parasites?
Pretty much. I like that system a lot. I hate psionics more than anything in the world, which...
which is weird.
Which is weird. I just don't like the idea of psionics. I don't know.
Like you think they're jerks, or do you think... Like, you when you say you don't like it, you, like, within a mythos, if you saw psionics, you would go, I don't like those guys. Or you, when you see things that have psionics, you go, oh, this is dumb because it has psionics in it. Which way do you mean you hate psionics?
In a system where you already have an established thing called magic, it's basically another form of magic that
you think it's a pointless bifurcation.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary at all. I think you could basically do it all already in the system of magic. And I understand the reason why psionics exist in the Dark Sun world is because it's not draining of the world whenever you use those powers.
But then what about, like, so, like, in D&D, like, if they have, like, druidic magic, and then they have just pure mage magic, and then they have, like, cleric style where it comes from a god, like, there's always, like, three or four or five different versions of magic. Would you just always prefer it was done? I'm not trying to cross-examine
no,
you.
No. It's cool. The hard part, too, is I was also a young DM.
Sure.
And trying to figure out how to stop people from doing stuff.
You might have fucked with him a little bit.
You did fuck with me a lot.
All right.
So it's also with druidic magic and
I blame Chris.
And wizard magics, it is easier to stop those type of things. You take away their components or something like that.
Sure.
You bind them and you stop them from being able to do their abilities. With the psionics,
they just squint and shake their head a little bit
and shit happens. And That's not, it's, you know, it's too, if,
by having it times, fully internalized, it takes out, like, the mechanism of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because then it's just, well, I can do this.
Yeah, those fuckers walked into a magic store and then turned into a, touched a, like, a magic sword, and they're like, oh my god, it's cursed, and then teleported out with the sword.
That'll work.
Yeah.
It was fun.
No.
I like it. It's not a game system, but I like the magic system in the Kingkiller books.
I don't know the books. Is that one I'm supposed to?
No. Yeah. You what? No, he probably wouldn't like it. I don't know. But
that Jim didn't make it through. Well,
Jim loved the first book. The second book pissed him off only because of one scene, which is just dumb.
I like the first book. The second book just meanders
The second one is a drastic drop in quality, but it's still higher quality than most fantasy
books. It's a quality B-plus book.
Yeah, and when you go from A++, arguably one of the best fantasy books of the last 100 years, to being decently good.
Still being pretty bold.
First book is fucking amazing.
It is quite enjoyable, but man.
Anyway, the first book, the guy, you know, again, a Harry Potter-esque thing, the guy is in magic school, but unlike that, they don't just go do this and say a word and shit happens. Like, they explain the actual mechanics behind how magic works and why magic works and the step-by-step process of making things work, like using materials and totems and binding this to binding that and whatever. And so then they do such a good job of it that then in big climactic scenes when he starts to do things, you're like, oh, I actually understand what's happening and how it's working and why it's going to work, and I know what he's trying to do because I have learned how this skill works.
Okay.
So it's really cool.
Yeah, for me, I think it's the way magic works in Dragon Age. I really don't like the hereditary magic using.
Oh,
like,
you have got to be the power, born, you're a Skywalker.
You got the touch!
So, but the thing that I do like about Dragon Age, they use that same thing. You're born with it or you don't have it. But you can pull from certain types of, like, spirits from the Fade to increase your power, or you can actually pull from certain ones to gain power when you didn't have any at all. So that stuff is kind of cool. Like, there's for Dragon Age 1 and 2, all the spirits were malignant for the most part. I mean, for 1 and 3, but then in 2, one of the characters had got a spirit that was like the spirit of justice. Or no, that was 3. But yeah, whatever. Those are the ones that I like, the way that you can enhance them with spirits. It was neat.
Other Brian?
I don't know if I have like a good world where magic just felt more. The magicians do a pretty good job of it. The book,
yeah, the tots with the finger movement and stuff like that.
Yeah, both the show and the books, they kind of do it the same way, just the way they handle magic. I mean, they have your magic schools, your preppy magic school, but then you have like people who just learn it on the slide who aren't, you know, all. But just the way you do it, it's just the study of magic and how you do it, and with the hand movements and the just learning like a skill. I don't know, it's kind of neat. I'm low on words, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Zappity,
Grubble.
What is currently on your painting table?
One would assume I have a painting table.
What your metaphoric? What is next on your list of things to paint, or what is currently being painted?
I saw it on the way in.
The next thing I have to paint is a harbinger for the Shadows of Brimstone game.
Yeah, that's your painting TV tray.
Yep.
I have to paint all my Conan models.
Theoretically.
I tricked Marshall into painting four of them, so I only have like 80 more of them to do myself.
What file I have for you in my home.
Quiet, you.
I think theoretically I'm a Hydra and a bunch of other Scorn, but we'll see.
Right now I've got two Phoenixes that I've needed to finish for, I think, a year and a half now, but that's also taking up space with some Age of Sigmar stuff. Yep.
Maybe look for models.
Some of them. Some of them are too busy.
I'm starting to learn that with the ones that I just got.
There's one of the Sigmarines who's like flying while shooting a bow, but he doesn't, the way his feet are, it doesn't look like he's flying. It looks like he's just standing in midair,
yeah.
And it just really bugs the shit out of me.
There's some poses that are definite misses. Like I started getting into like the Sylvaneth army, like the Wood Elves afterwards.
Like people are jerking themselves off over that one, and to me they're just too busy.
They
and maybe it's just an aesthetic that I don't like. Like maybe I like simpler lines, but I look at them like, oh my god, half those twigs need to go and then I'd love them.
Yep,
that's an opinion thing.
Though they look really cool when you look at them on the box, and then when you see them as you paint them, you're like, what the fuck did I do? Because it's going to take me forever to deal with that. You can't even dry brush it the way you want to unless you get a really soft, bristled, long dry brush.
Spray paint them tan and then dip them.
Break that stuff. I wanted to make them look like fancy, so I was trying to take my time with them.
Oh, lazy. Spray paint brown
probably,
and dip.
Yeah, probably might those not happen
leaves,
anymore.
All those individual leaves, painting every single individual leaf. It's like the fucking candles on the damn Gator engine.
Yeah. The
fuck that thing.
I have two Gator engines. One that I bought already pro-painted, and the other that will be unpainted forever.
Yeah. I assembled one of those things, and just assembling it is annoying as hell, putting all those fucking candles in.
The unpainted one is also not assembled.
The
main thing candles. Is assembled and on the base, but the dude's pushing it, all the candles, the skulls, no.
Yeah.
I thought about with the battle engine, because I have one to paint, too. I was going to try and pin all the candles and just like blast them with an airbrush and then stick them in their holes. I thought that might save me some time.
There's a lot of goddamn candles.
Yeah, I don't think.
And you almost have to, you have to mark them where they're all supposed to go as well, too. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Gator Battle Engine,
yeah.
The next zappity question is, why are a whole bunch of battle engines suddenly getting better?
I think they realize that they want to sell some, and they making them better makes them more desirable. I mean, I know a lot of people in the Merc forums have poo-pooed the Siege Crawler.
The Siege Toilet.
That thing has...
It's got legs.
It's got...
Eight of them, isn't it? Yeah.
Six.
Six legs?
It's got six legs. It's an
insect. The TEP has 10.
Yeah. Big stagger guns you can snipe are pretty good.
Yeah,
six.
Working with Ostrom, that thing is amazing. If it could be included in a battle group, I would love it even more because then Durgan would love it. But with Ostrom, that thing, shooting 16 away, threatening 21, feet turn 24 is pretty damn good.
Well, the thing is, they need to be buffed. The problem that the problem with the battle engines have is that you look at a 19-point model with 20 boxes, and then you look at getting two Marauders.
Correct.
Like, it's like, huh?
Yeah.
Wah.
Yeah.
No. Because not only do you get quadruple the hit points for this, you also get the ability to boost, you know, the ability to benefit from battle group spells. You get so much more out of a jack, even if you had a single 19-point jack. If you compare anything like that, I don't know. Well, Behemoth's like 20, but whatever. Like, Beast Knight or something.
Imperatus was 19.
Sure, Imperatus. 21. Whatever. Let's compare Imperatus to... A siege battle. Crawler.
Yeah.
Even just, you know, like, meh? Like, we got two Marauders? Two or something? I mean, that's the issue. And so a lot more of them are getting the ability to boost. Like, the TP can boost. The Siege Animatrix can boost.
It's all about finding the right price point.
The survivability.
They've just done a good job finding the price point that makes sense for them.
Yeah, a bunch of them dropped it. Like, the Cricket went down, like, 4 points, didn't it?
That was already an argument for most... rep players, and now it's more of like I could actually play this. And
well, that's actually one of the I feel is one of the best battle engines is the Cricket.
Yeah, especially now that it's so much cheaper. Yeah, the TEP obviously is amazing.
Yep, you can't charge the damn thing. You can it has an awesome knockdown gun. You can snipe that thing too. It has a self snipe, I believe.
Yeah, it might. It doesn't have a built-in boost mechanic, does it?
No,
so it does not have that, which is oftentimes one of the arguments people. But it has. Pretty decent rad, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any battle engine that can exist in its for its own merit is where you're going to get good ones. But like people say, oh, the Kador battle engine's awesome, or the storm towers or the storm generator, whatever the fuck it's called, is awesome. But those are only good because the casters that you would usually bring them with turn them on to a million. Like Hand of Fate on the Kador battle engines, awesome.
Right.
Nemo 3 with the battle engines, awesome. But Hand of Fate on any unit
is going to be awesome.
Exactly.
Right?
So I mean, it's like feigned awesomeness for the
battle engines. It's not awesome. Anything would be awesome with that. On its own, it isn't. Yep. Same with like the storm thing. Like I think the storm thing needs because it only gets electrical tokens to spend. Like if it gets damaged or something.
No, if it kills something in melee.
If it kills something in melee, eat a dick. Yeah. So yeah, no.
Also, the Kator battle engine makes a fucking horrible sac pawn target.
Well, yeah. Now yeah, that made
fuck
it
that thing.
And when that trick came out in Baraboo, I made sure to show every single person in that shop. So here's how you'd lose to Old Witch if you haven't seen this before.
Old Witch feeding into 5 inches deep in your deployment zone on top of one?
Yep, and then I had shown our 3 Kador players how to set it up to where they could have the battle engine sack pawn on that same turn, too. So it was just like a journey of discovery for all of them.
Yep. I would have been able to... Well, actually, I still survived. Andy failed killing me that. But had I prioritized my other attacks well, I would have been able to take out the battle engine and then have 3 boosted sprays onto Old Witch.
That'll get her.
Yeah. But,
Oh, yeah, because Sack Pawn, unlike Shield Guard, does not give a shit if it's a spray or not.
Yep. Correct. Yeah.
All right. Here's a question that Geezy will care more about. Fantasy Flight Games Rune Wars game.
I'm very intrigued by it. Very, very intrigued.
Oh, that's the miniature one, isn't it?
It's a miniature unit. It's actually, it's a rank and file, which is a thing that I need in my life that I've been lacking for so long. That's why we talk about Age of Sigmar. Even if Age of Sigmar became amazing and everyone loved it, it's still
another skirmish game,
right?
And yeah. Nothing about that game will draw me in because it's skirmish.
Well,
now.
What's the name of the one? I always mix it up with Kings of War. Not because what's the other one that's not Kings of War but also has Kings in its name?
Wrath of Kings.
Right. I always mix those two up. But Kings of War, yeah, like a lot of people just took their fantasy models and just. Yeah. You know, they're no longer lizard men, they're splithered men, and now I'll just play with Kings of War.
You can call them lizard men now, because they're...
Sure.
Because GW has suddenly decided they're going to switch all of their goddamn names for their armies to something unpronounceable.
That's not how copyright and trademark works.
No, they're a seraphim now.
Yeah, but anyway, the Fantasy Flight game, the Rune Wars miniature game, does look pretty cool. I know, I think I'm bored is going to get into it. I was talking to John Acker. Like the first box is like $100. And you get quite a bit. And the fact that it's rank and file intrigues me. And Fantasy Flight's on a pretty good roll for rules right now in games. So it is something that might suck me in. If like no one's interested, I'm not going to get into it.
I might be interested.
Into a game that's... But it seems neat. So I'll probably throw money at that.
If you buy 2 entire factions, I'll play it with you.
Well, I mean, there's a starter box which doesn't have a couple factions. And I'm not sure how fast they're to come up with more stuff. So I think they're taking kind of a cautious approach. Because I think the main box is going to have like multiple armies, like parts of each army.
Yeah,
and then you just say you're gonna play. You know, it'll have like 100 or 200 points of an army. You only play like 100 per side, so you'll have some customization. And then I don't know. Everything Fantasy Flight does, though, whenever they make something new, you usually want 2 starters or whatever their game is. Which is the one annoying thing about that company is you always want 2 starters of whatever they do.
And then later on, you don't need that second starter.
Well, no, you always need
40% of it because it's always shit like, you know, the Lord of the Rings game where you can have up to like 3 of a card in your deck and there's several cards that they only come with 1 of in the starter set.
Oh.
All the expansions come with 3 of every single card, but the starter deck only comes with 1 of a few of them.
Yep. It's a weird thing the company does. So I'm sure if I get into the game, I'll want... Well, Destiny was as bad. Destiny was like... There's like... 3 of the 20 cards that were you needed 2 of. You had to buy 2 of those. It's just a thing they do. It's the one thing that annoys everybody. But overall, I still love that company too much. I'm pretty much all in on Fantasy Flight.
Yeah.
I want to look into the game. The reason why I even looked at Age of Sigmar was because they broke away from rank and file. I don't find that interesting, to me at least.
Yeah.
But I'd look at this just to see what
you
it's
give
like.
Me a good rank and file game, I'll throw War Machine in the trash.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, but...
I do really miss the strategy involved with that too, where you're actually dealing with flanks and rear charges and stuff like that.
You can simulate some of that in a skirmish, but it's just not the same. But yeah.
All right.
Hearthstone, anybody still playing it?
I log on once in a while. I don't play a ton. I actually was starting to play it a bunch In November, going in early December, then I switched over to the Star Wars Galaxy Hero, and I haven't touched Hearthstone much since then, but that's fun. It's a fun, goofy little game.
I keep thinking of playing more of it. I had it on my phone for a while, but my battery sucks so bad.
You know what's really, really similar to Hearthstone? Star Wars Destiny.
You know what's free?
Well,
Hearthstone.
Free, but you it's as free as cocaine is free. The first hit maybe is free, but you will spend money on Hearthstone. You will get nowhere and be frustrated.
The only money I ever spent on Hearthstone was money you gave me.
Yeah, but I mean...
You gave me Blizzard gift cards for my birthday like 3 years ago. There
are so many adventure packs out there that if you play through them, you unlock all these cards. They're also fun. They cost a little bit of money. There's like 4 editions of cards. Like it's...
Like those I buy, but you don't need to buy packs, right? Like the adventures you have to pay to unlock,
yeah,
but right. Every card is available hypothetically by earning it.
If you don't mind, but I mean a new card set will have, you know, like 200 or 300 cards, and you can like get your 2 packs a week and get your 7 or 8 cards a week, and if you're right. Okay losing an insane amount because you have that little quality of card variety.
Right. Any freemium game, it's either time or dollars, yeah. Right? It's your choice which of the two you invest in. My personality is one that I'm always okay investing infinite time. Like, I won't give you a dollar. Unless, like, if I really like your game, I'll throw some at you. Like, Hearthstone, if I got back into it, I would buy the adventure packs. Because, you know, here you go, Blizzard, have some money.
And they're actually really creative now in their adventure packs. They have really actually, like, it's fun.
Yeah, those are cool. I like those.
But see, to me, as I get older, near death, time is so 1,000 times more important to me.
Right.
So I just throw money so I can immediately have good decks.
The time's being spent playing the game, which is what I ostensibly enjoy doing anyway, right? So it's not like they make you stare at a wall for 40 hours. They're play the game, and then you get stuff for the game. So is that really time?
They made it slightly better because a lot of the quests now are play X. It used to be like win 3 with a paladin, win 3 with a warlock. Well, you coming into the game, you know, not putting any money, you're gonna win. You're gonna lose 90%, so you're never gonna even earn packs.
Right.
And people were going away. So now it's a lot like play 40 minions over the next 3 games, even if you lose, you're gonna put 40 minions into you, cast 30 spells. So they've done a lot of that to help things along, but there's still the win with a character class. And that, you know, as you play, if you hover in the lower ranks, you'll still win some, but it's like, man, I like to win more than 1 in 4 or whatever. So I just threw a little bit of money in the game and now I can win, you know, equally. But you know.
The one thing I liked about what they did with their ranking system, too, is you didn't actually... You could put, a good day into getting ranked up to level 20 so you can get your new card back for the season. That I liked about that system. Yeah. As compared to trying to get much higher in, like, Overwatch, is it feels more difficult to do.
That's brutal.
But, for, yeah. I mean, you start at 25, so getting to 20, I mean, you want to get into the teens or higher to get the really good rewards. But, I mean, 20, at least you get the bare minimum of the card back, which is nice, the monthly card back. But it's...
20 is higher than the teens.
It's you want to get, like, one. And beyond one...
You start
like,
at... You're going
I know,
down.
Yeah.
For me, for Hearthstone, I have not played it in a very long time, and it just barely survived deletion off my computer. I was going through all of my Blizzard games because my Heroes of the Storm, for some odd reason, kept on trying to update, and it would just never complete updating. So I finally deleted it, and then I decided I'm going to delete WoW off my computer then, too.
What?
Yeah.
Breaking the addiction?
No, I just installed it immediately afterwards, and it runs so much smoother now. I sacrificed like 2.5 hours last night. Deleting like, WoW to reinstall.
I dumped out all of my alcohol into these funnel-equipped fountains so that I can drink it more quickly.
it is much more efficient now. Now when I load up into WoW and it goes into cities, it doesn't take me forever to load up into that city. Now it's like 30 seconds quicker.
Oh boy,
it's good. It's so good. I lost all my pet teams, though, and that sucks.
I finish all my WoW dailies really quickly.
Yeah, you should really play more.
Nope.
Play WoW with me.
Nope.
Play WoW with me.
I've played 3 MMOs in my life, and only one of them for a very extended period of time.
Which one was that?
Well, I did EverQuest, you know, way back in the day. Mm-hmm. Dabbled in it. Didn't play it overly much. I also played some Age of Conan. I played that for like 6 months or so. Never got super deep into it. It's a fun game, though. And then the one I played for like full on addict in it every day for like, you know, 8 hours a day was City of Heroes.
Oh yeah. I'm surprised that nobody has really picked up an IP that runs similar to that. is like a superhero one, especially this day and
age. DC's tried it.
DC has?
I mean, yeah.
They, DC
and,
Heroes, yep.
And they both failed, like City Heroes and DC, I mean, I don't know, just...
But that's DC Universe, that was still almost 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is the Star Trek one still wimping along?
It still exists.
Is it still weird where there's no single player mode for Klingons? They have to do PvP for their quests?
I don't know.
Because like the storyline for like everybody else, like you go and you do quests against like raids and stuff like that. The Klingon storyline for characters is all PvP. It's all go fuck up some humans and go fuck up some Vulcans. Well, which is kind of a neat idea.
Sounds very Klingon-y.
I mean, it's appropriate, but people were upset about it.
Yeah. I never played Hearthstone.
Zappity.
We should all do like Friday Night Magic sometime.
I would
drop
down
the $10 to just do a draft or whatever.
I would much rather not do it with a draft. I'd rather go.
I like sealed.
The sealed deck ones. Where you just buy a deck.
Are they like pre-made decks?
No, it's like you buy a starter and a couple packs.
Well, I don't know if
but you don't draft it. It's just whatever you have. Yep. You just have to build some. Well, either way, sure. I mean, I wouldn't care which of those two. I mean, that would probably be easier because I have no idea what cards are good. So if there's a sealed. But the point is, I would love to play Magic again without buying Magic cards, you know, and like I don't want to spend $1,000 buying a complete collection of a new game, you know, like, oh, I don't know, Disney Infinity or something like that. I want to just
Destiny.
Star Wars Destiny, whatever it is.
Disney Infinity doesn't
Star Wars
exist.
Yeah, wah. But the point is, like, I would love to just, you know, it's like going to a movie. You spend your $5-$10, you have your entertainment for a couple hours, and then you just leave. And I would just burn the cards and just go on with my life.
I'd be afraid of possible repercussions of that.
What do you mean?
Just suddenly deciding, like, I want to play this again.
Nope. It would be a solemn vow to never buy cards. You would only ever pay.
Hand me the card. I'll have a scissors when the game is over.
Sure.
You'll hand Brian the
card. I will literally burn the. I will see what I have in my deck. I will check going list prices, and anything that's a dollar or less, I will burn.
And anything that's $5 or less. I'm
sure.
Not,
okay.
Get
fuck
rid
it.
Of those.
$10. And I'm not doing anything that's not double digits.
Yep.
Okay. So that shit I'll sell. Anything else I'll just. All right. You know what? I'll just go next door and go here. You know, how much for these?
Yeah, what do you give me?
Yeah, because Misty still buys cards. Pegasus, I don't think, buys cards. They only sell them.
Yeah,
or do they still go through the same guy?
They go through the same... Box got like the whole town of Madison under his thumb, from what I understand.
That's fine. Yeah, whatever. So that's what I'll do. I'll do the thing, and then I will leave with no cards. Everything's either sold or thrown at a hobo.
Sure. Or a kid. You go up to a kid afterwards.
Kids are nature's hobos.
Yeah. I would be down with that. I've always looked at it.
That day.
I've always talked that I wanted to do like a Friday Night Magic. I don't want to do a draft because God knows I don't want to like have the guy next to me who's like, you gave away this.
This is for $12 million.
I'm like, oh, okay, thanks.
He just turns into a prospector and just hoots and runs out the door. You got my gold. Yeah, no, we're sealed. We'll look into it. We should do that sometime. You're doing laundry, so that's understandable.
I'm doing laundry that day.
Okay. And the last one that somebody thrown up there, are there any kickstarts that you want to tell us about?
Is it kickstarts?
That's what he wrote. Are there any kickstarts that you want to tell us about?
I am unaware of any kickstarts currently.
There was only one that, and this is, I play off of the Dark Guidance podcast. They looked at Judgment. A Kickstarter that's going to be starting soon, if not started already. But the only reason why I mention it is because it's a mini war game that simulates a MOBA, basically. I don't like that style of game at all, but the one thing that got me was that they're 54mm miniatures, and ever since Warhammer Inquisition, they had those massive, massive models. And I've
Inquisitor.
I always wanted to play a game like that just because the models are cool.
Cthulhu Wars minis are pretty ridiculously big.
They are for sure.
This is the time of year where I'm not spending money on Kickstarter. I'm kind of cashing in because like in the next month or two I'm getting a bunch of Cthulhu Wars stuff. I'm getting a bunch of Shadows of Brimstone stuff. I'll be getting my Mech Warrior things in a few months. My Friday the 13th will be paying out in a few months. So this is the first quarter of a calendar year is usually when things are coming towards me in Kickstarters. I know it's a good part of it. The things I bought 2 years ago are coming my way.
Yeah,
Conan's coming, more Conan stuff's coming.
Yay!
I don't typically spend a whole lot of time researching or looking at Kickstarters, but when I hear about stuff like that that's unique or interesting, I think it's like you can use 3 characters or 6 characters like that. There are 2 game modes for that. It seemed really neat, but 54 millimeter combat just is interesting. I'm always in it for the big models.
I saw the models for it, and they definitely look pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah.
Sweetness.
All right.
I have no Kickstarter to talk about.
I don't either. I've followed a couple of them, and I've just decided to stop. I'm happy to hear that, Cool Mini or Not is really slowing down and stopping a lot of their Kickstarters.
Yeah.
They
just used it as their web store, yeah. Right? Like,
I was talking to somebody yesterday about it at Brian's Board Game Day thing, which was awesome, by the way.
It was a good day.
Brian's Supply, there was like...
I just fun board game. Everyone comes in Kerr's. I'm going to run an event in my town on the same day because screw Brian.
I scheduled it 2 months ago.
He scheduled Board Game Day like 2.5 months ago.
Yeah. It was more like two weeks ago.
It was like 3 weeks
ago. It was
It was a while back.
It was a while back, but not 2 months ago.
Not 2 months.
But yeah, Brian supplied for his free catering for Chipotle. That was good. A lot of free burritos. But anyway, I was talking to somebody there, and we were talking about board games and that, and I expressed my hatred of Cool Mini or Not's Kickstarters, mainly because, number one, Kickstarter exclusives. Fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go more hardcore than anybody else.
Yeah.
The whatever the game that the Conan people did just now,
yeah.
I forget what it's called. Was it Mythic? Pantheon of Heroes or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were shitheads this time about it.
I went all in on that, too, I think.
No, John Acker did. Because John did it.
I dodged something.
Because with the Conan one, they had all these expansions, and then they just had some... They had... If you pledged, like the main pledge, you got a bunch of Kickstarter exclusive stuff. Sure. You know? And then there were also a few Kickstarter exclusive add-ons that you could buy for $5-$10 or whatever for these exclusive models. And that's sure, fine, whatever. And then there were also like, you know, and then here's some other stuff you can buy if you want to. The one they just did, they had all like the, you know, here's the core game. And if you back it, there's a Kickstarter exclusives and blah, blah, blah. And then here's an expansion. And the expansion's like 40 models, and it's going to be coming to stores eventually, but you can buy it now along with everything else. And if you buy it now, you'll get one Kickstarter exclusive model in that expansion.
Fuck
that. Here's the other expansion, which is like 40 models, and it has one Kickstarter exclusive model in it. Yeah, like the expansions each had one or two Kickstarter exclusive models in it that won't be when they come to retail. Yeah. Because like the Conan one, I was just like, here's $20 extra. I now have everything to Kickstarter exclusive. Yeah. I don't wait. You know, the expansions come out later. They're, you know, I don't need to buy them now because when they come to the stores, it's the same as, and they, too many people.
Although you do, like.
Too many people like me did that. And so they shoehorned the exclusives
like,
this time.
If you buy the Kickstarter, like, for example, like, I paid $50 for each of those expansions for Conan.
Yeah,
but retail will be like $60. So you save
some money.
$15.
Well, although if I pre-order at Pegasus, I would have saved 5 of those. But whatever.
But
shoehorning in 1 or 2 Kickstarter exclusive models into each of them was just sadistic.
Yeah, I don't mind alternate sculpts. Those are fine in that. But when it's like it's. Zombicide is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
When you have like one specific character that's only exclusive to people that backed it, which is cool, but give me that character later on just with new artwork or something.
Sure. So it's not.
Yeah. So the people that actually have the Kickstarter, they do have something special that is first edition. Perfectly fine with that. But you're limiting yourself selling the game because people like me, which I don't think I'm the only ones, will not buy that game because I can't own everything for it.
The problem is when you look at some of these games that do that though, when they can raise millions upon millions of dollars, they're like whatever.
So yeah, number one, yeah, fuck you. Yeah. Is the flip side.
Yeah.
Because you know, if that exclusive to getting people to buy it, good. Flip number two, I mean it's not like maybe not all of these, maybe some of the, I don't think I have yet seen one of these things where it's like a competitive war game, you know, or something like that. So
it's not like
having the High Reclaimer be a Kickstarter exclusive that nobody can ever buy again, right?
Sure.
So if you want to have a cardboard cutout and print out the rules for a Zombicide miniature that was Kickstarter exclusive, nobody's stopping you.
And they've made
you all can still play the game.
And they have since come out with cards where it's cards for every character that ever existed, including
sure. exclusives. Yeah. And even if they didn't come out with it, somebody on BoardGameGeek did it 30 seconds after the Kickstarter ended.
Yeah.
And so you can still play the game fully. You just won't have the actual model. You just have to go buy a random thing from Toys R Us.
I feel weird about it.
And I get that.
And that was the thing with like even Sentinels of the Multiverse. All it was is like brand new new cards for heroes.
Yeah, like Quoth, the alternate Quoth card.
Yeah.
But that wasn't Kickstarter exclusive, but still, whatever.
But yeah, but I mean like Young Legacy was one of their first, for the first Kickstarter there was. And her card normally goes for like $250 to $300 for just a card. And yeah, I just felt weird having just a printout of it. I don't know. I'm not happy with, because I like to have everything just available for that game.
Go on eBay and pay $500 for the thing that you could have initially backed the game for $200.
Boss Monster is another big example of that as well.
I own Boss Monster, and I don't know how. I was in my basement, and I saw it up on a shelf. I don't remember ever buying it.
So
it might be my stepson's.
The Kickstarter version of the game
comes
with almost 50% more monsters for you to be.
Yeah.
And they are not available to the general public.
Right.
But people would... You bumped the price up on... I don't know.
It's, you should have backed it.
No, I
well, there you go.
That was the game I went out on eBay and I bought the Kickstarter version of that game. It wasn't that much more expensive. It was like $100, but it was about...
$100 for Boss Monster?
Yeah.
I think that like is a bit more expensive.
Yeah, it's like
but it was all gold foil cards and I had coins.
It's a card game. It's got to be like 20 tops.
I think it's like
25-ish, whatever.
Yeah,
we're in there.
And then that's Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hate it.
So they get a lot of my money.
Much like I hate Psyonix.
Cephalix are Psyonix, somebody pointed out in the chat.
eBay showed me a
Cephalix
thing.
Is still... It's more magic-y stuff.
Speaking of like eBay showed me how much money, how many things I've sold total since I've used eBay. I've sold $7,000 worth of stuff on eBay over the last few years.
That's exciting.
They had like a new category they added to it.
Don't want to see what I don't want to see the opposite of what I bought.
You can see what you've sold, but don't look at what you bought.
Yeah. I don't spend that much on eBay.
I did for a while.
I've sold more than I bought. I usually I used to. Before they got wise and started having the millennials that work for them check the internet, you used to be able to get like rare board games at like Salvation Army. You know, you'd go in there and be like, oh, that's a $500 board game for $2. And so I would flip that shit, but it's gotten really hard nowadays.
Well, then you have the idiots out there too that hear something is rare and then try selling a knockoff of that that's rare. Like the biggest example I have is Dracula X.
Yeah.
That was out for the TurboGrafx. It was a CD game for the Turbo CD. That one was rare. That one was the one that was worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Dracula X for the Super Nintendo, on the other hand, was not rare and a far inferior copy of it. But eventually, people just started listening and people started buying it, and suddenly Dracula X for the Super Nintendo is rare now.
Well, and there still have to be the same number out there. So it's not rare, it's just expensive.
It's just rare. Everybody's,
it's pointlessly expensive.
Everybody is trying to say that this is it's Dracula X for the Turbo.
eBay is a strange place for breeding stupid people. I've been so many times I've got into bidding wars, and I'm just like, at the end of when it gets down to those 2 seconds, I'm like, nah, $45 is not what I want to do. And then I look at, I search it again, and I'm like, I find one that's like, buy it now, free shipping, $40. I'm like, God damn these people.
Well, I've seen ones where the bid is up to like $70, $80, and then they have a link to their web store in the description, and it's on the web store for like $40.
Yeah.
And just people just don't click the link.
I relisted my Zombicide stuff like 3 times, and it didn't bid, and then suddenly this time, it bid up like $250, $300 extra, and nothing changed, and then I just posted it again.
I was looking at it. I almost bought Battlemasters.
I've got like 4 towers of that in the basement.
Huh?
I got 4 towers, the actual plastic tower. I've got 4 of those.
Do you have the Big Mad and all the models, or just the towers?
No, we had 4 copies of that game.
But everything else is gone?
Everything else left.
Well, it takes up so much space.
God, that one time we had 4 copies of it going on at the same time in Brad's basement that one time. Oh my God, that was
me insane. And my brother, we house ruled, where instead of just flipping the cards off the deck, we split it into, you know, each player had their deck and you had a hand of 3 cards, so you would choose something to activate and draw a replacement card, so it was a little more strategic than just randomly flipping what activated. Played a shitload of that game when I was young.
I remember Jim talks about how he would always stack the cannonball.
Oh yeah, I'm sure Jim cheated like a motherfucker. He was a Magic player. He knows how to cheat.
Recommendations. We gotta get going because we're gonna watch The Rumble soon and get pizza.
My recommendation is that, hey, how did you feel about the first five Resident Evil movies? You'll feel the same way about this one.
Technically, critically, it's the best one.
It's the same. It's I don't know why the number's higher. Maybe it's just because it hasn't stabilized because it's new. But you will enjoy it the literal exact same amount, whether you hated or loved the other five.
Did it seem like to you... Did it seem like Wesker was like a CGI Wesker for a lot of
that
it?
That guy's just weird looking.
That guy just looks weird.
That's just a weird looking guy. Also, like two movies ago, Wesker was like the super monster whose head like would have tentacles stuck out, and this one a door killed him.
Yeah.
It was a big door though.
Also, if I had a nickel for every cut, I think I would have $8 trillion at the end of that movie. Like there were 7 cuts per second in some scenes.
Oh, the fight sequences were basically
just cut, 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 yeah. cut, and it's like that was one punch that somebody threw. You didn't need to
5 different angles all in the same second. Yep. No, that and if you're in a giant base and there's only really one way into the giant base and you want to prevent this one person from getting in to the giant base, you seal the door before they even get there. Because it's 24 hours or
48 hours.
You know that they're coming. Well,
even, you see the dogs chase them and your door takes 10 seconds to close. You don't wait till they're there and in front of the 5-second traverse hallway to start closing your 10-second door. You're like, oh, there they are. Close.
Yeah, exactly. I mean... As I quoted before, somebody had mentioned that it's basically plot hole inception.
Well, I mean, shit, like,
but that was the stupidest part of the film.
Towards the end, she's a foot away from a guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, that guy gets eaten by zombies, completely surrounded by zombies, mm-hmm. and then it cuts back to her 50 feet away from zombies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, she moved.
Sure.
Your recommendation, Brian.
I really don't think I have much of one.
Well, fine, we'll talk about Resident Evil some more. Yeah. So,
no. No, I think I've been using this Vallejo texture paint lately for flocking bases.
Sure.
It's been actually really good. I think the stuff I was using was volcano lava or something. It was black lava, I think, is what it was. It's just like, I know it's super easy to paint your base and dunk it in dirt and boom, you're done. But like this stuff, I can kind of build it up a little bit more interesting.
I'm so sorry.
I just figured I'd keep going because I'm not going to let him make me stop talking.
Power through, man. Power through.
That's what I have to do. The magic of editing.
Yeah, Andy's going to be able to fix that.
He always does.
I'll just mute his mic for a while and see if that helps.
There you go. So
I'm also done now.
He's coming over to my mic now. So Vallejo something?
I think it was... Vallejo texture paint.
Yeah, it's called black lava, I think, is the stuff I was using. But it's nice. You can build it up in interesting ways. It looks cool when you're done.
Cool. My recommendation, I recommended a while ago, too, is you should watch Humans.
It's like Westworld, but British.
It's not like Westworld, goddammit.
It's like Westworld, but British.
It's not like Westworld.
Are there robot people?
Are they British?
Are there robot people?
I have no idea.
Are they British? Ergo, it's like Westworld, but British.
Who's winning the Rumble tonight? I don't know.
Mankind.
There's so many people in the Rumble this time around that have...
Cactus Jack.
That have like a decent... You say Taxes Jack?
Yes. Taxes Jack.
Yeah.
That's Mick Foley's fourth persona.
Yes.
Coming in, he audits you to death.
But no, there's so many. Actually, my real recommendation is go watch the Rumble because it's awesome. It's one of the two pay-per-views of the year that's amazing for WWE. That and WrestleMania, always usually really good shows.
Wrestling's fun. Don't give up on your childhood.
Yep. But no, who's gonna win the Rumble? There's so many people that have viable storyline entries that could headline WrestleMania. I don't know. There's so many people this time around.
All right.
Yeah.
But what's your prediction? Come on, man. You have a prediction. Give me a prediction.
I think it's probably
my prediction. Pain.
My prediction, unfortunately, is probably going to be another GoPro. Oh, get that off.
Another GoPro?
Another Goldberg. I think Goldberg's going to win.
Goldberg? He's WCW.
No, he's not.
He was.
Dude, you're going to have a lot.
Anything at Gold Dust?
You're going to. He's in the Rumble. Yeah.
Wait. What? The guy from like the 1990s that was just homoerotic?
Goldust is still in the WWE.
Why?
He's tag team with somebody called R-Truth, and they call themselves the Golden Truth.
Wow.
I'm there. No. You go.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I can't wait till you watch this. Cause all right, we're done. All right.
I can recommend things, people.
Well, yeah. Wait, what did you recommend?
I'm going to recommend
cough drops.
Cough drops are pretty amazing. I have one thing, eight.
I was going to flick that over to Andy.
Eight boxes of them. I like. You're welcome,
viewer. Traffic lights?
I just recently watched.
That viewer, by the way, is Amanda.
I watched the first four seasons of Bates Motel, and it was very enjoyable. Season 5 comes out next month.
Three final. Of the four of us have recommended Bates Motel at various pacings. Like, I recommended it 4 years ago, and Andy recommended it, like, two or three times after that.
You've seen it, Brian? You watched it all?
And nope. Then you're recommending it now.
I think you and Amanda would love it. It's really dementedly creepy and atrociously yeah. awesome.
We just finished a series of unfortunate events, so I think we're digging for another series. I think Amanda,
there you go.
Amanda set us up with Voltron, I think, next.
That's only one season. I watched how it happened. It's okay. It's not
two? I thought two just came out.
Season 2 is coming out real soon. It might be out now. It's coming out real soon. I wasn't.
Look at everybody joining us because they didn't realize we started 2 hours ago.
Yeah. Hi, Travis. Goodbye. And then people should also watch Sneaky Pete on Amazon Prime.
Sneaky Pete? With
Giovanni Ribisi.
Giovanni Ribisi.
And also Bryan Cranston plays like a small character, which is also amazing. So yeah, I recommend both those things.
All right.
And don't get sick.
Yep.
We love you. Goodbye.